you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
I'm on the stage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that door of a on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the air is not Zach Black. Zach's still at nappy time or something, so. I do have Bobo Bad, or Female Satan, as she's now known, and hanging on the line. So we'll go ahead and say hi. How you doing today?
Hi. How's everybody doing?
I believe they got to be doing okay. They're here and pushing air. Tomorrow's the end of the world. I'm kind of excited about that. I've never seen a world end, so... it should be kind of cool, you know, the whole rapture thing, and, you know, there's a lot of idiots going to disappear. That's going to be great. So, looking forward to that. I'm not sure if it starts at midnight Eastern Standard Time, though, or if we got to wait until it actually reaches, you know, that day everywhere in the world. So,
I'm not sure either. But my mother-in-law is on that train, so that's fun.
Right on. Is that, is it really a train? Do people really put that much stock in these soothsayers or mathematicians or whatever that they, they've got to, go get their canned vegetables for the end of the world? I mean, I don't know if your supermarkets are crazy, but mine are nuts here with people backing up on water and canned vegetables. Mm-hmm. And I think
spam, it is here too.
Yeah. I think Spam's company right now, the market shares just went up like probably about 20 or 30%. Green Giant's kicking ass. So, anyway, we're here to talk to you today, and I apologize because I didn't really have anything to do with the arranging of this second interview. But from my understanding, we were going to kind of discuss your transition from Bobo Bad to Female Satan, and I guess first how it's working out for you. Secondly, we could kind of get an idea of what kind of goals you set for yourself when you made the transition, and so let's first, I guess, get into why you chose to do the quote unquote character change.
Well, for starters, I do have to say this. It was like a completely impulsive, irrational, insane, just momentary, emotional thing when I deleted my account as Bobo Bad. I didn't sit and put a lot of thought into it. It just happened. And
right.
Then I was basically like, oh, I can't believe I did that. But then, you know, I was kind of being stupid, actually. I mean, it was a stupid thing that I'm now glad that I did at the end of the day. It worked out better this way, and I prefer the name. And I had a stalker, and they had actually pretty definitively connected the two, so it's been good for the one to be gone for that reason. But mostly it was just an irrational, stupid, crazy, spur-of-the-moment thing.
Rational, stupid, crazy, spur of the moment thing. So, you, in your mind, you did not actually have this whole thing kind of planned out. It was actually, just an emotionally based decision that immediately went uh-oh when you did.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, how has it actually worked out, though? Because this is really, I think, what's going to get into the meat of what I want to talk about today. So, how has it worked out for you?
Well, actually, I'm much happier now than I was before because it's an interesting thing. But when I first started at Satanic International Network, I really wasn't being myself. Like, I was posting on forums, but I wasn't posting. I was writing, not, like, if you had asked me that question in real life, you would have got a much, much, much different response than what came out in text. So it kind of gave me the ability to actually post as myself as opposed to actually pretending to be somebody I wasn't, which is ironic considering, you know, how ridiculous the whole thing is.
Right on. Well, what I think is very curious about this and why I was cool with just going ahead and letting this topic go, because, I mean, right now we would kind of be at a complete standstill in terms of what to talk about next, right? We could maybe find out, a couple of things. I noticed that one of the people in the chat room asked if we were going to be updated on your marital affairs or whatever it is. And the whole thing for me is this. I don't want this to be the Ricky Lake of occultism and the left-hand path. I'm not looking for that kind of shock drama, if that's what you want to say. I've always wanted real thought put behind in this. And I know sometimes it's hard to believe, especially when for 45 minutes we discuss, you know, the chicken wings recipe with Jason King. But that's a rarer moment in the ooze chronology than what I might, prefer to have there. But anyway, what I wanted to kind of talk about, we all do this thing. We all choose these little magical names or whatever you want to call it. And, attached with this name, it is my opinion that there is an overarching persona that is kind of envisioned, and it might not necessarily completely reflect who you are, which is, in part why you changed your name from Bubble Bad to Female Satan, was, that the fact that you weren't being yourself. But my proposal is this, that it could actually be a useful construct or tool in that you could build the prototype of what you really want, what you want yourself to be. Like, you might have in your mind that you want to have a razor sharp mind, like our friend
Dandred.
Mr. Dandred, yeah. And so you would attach that quality. You might, come up with the Dread, Dread Cthulhu or something. I'm just throwing out a name out there to kind of illustrate the point, but you'd attach certain qualities to this name that you maybe would like to see either take the lead in your personality or develop in your personality, and I think that's kind of a neat way to bring this about and talk about this, because I really think that this is what people are doing even subconsciously when they're constructing these magical names for themselves. I mean, half the time, when somebody's hit a name that really resonates with this ideal character that they have of themselves, and you know this because it stays the same. And by this, what I mean is I see tons of, Lucifer X666, and that's his name for like a week until he changes it to Abaddon Q666 or whatever. But when they find something they really resonate with, they stick with it, and that's something that I think is very fascinating.
I agree. And the name actually, Female Satan, I actually particularly like it because of those connotations, and I've talked about it before, that I've always approached the archetype of Satan from a female angle, so that's kind of why I like the name. I also think it's awful, which is the other reason why I like it too. You know, it's not as like, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time and energy making like a really cool name. It's kind of blatant and out there, bam, you know.
Right on. Well, everybody, I'm not really sure what's going on in terms of the chat room, but it looks like everybody's popping in and out or something like that. And I'm sorry to derail this for just a second, but I did remember that in the beginning of the show, I needed to make a big announcement. As everybody who's listening knows, Matt, the Dark Fool, has resigned. He's, you know, he's got his book to work on. He's got school he's working on. He's, you know, working a full-time job, and he's really trying to get his shit together. And it was just getting to be, at least from my understanding, it was getting to be a burden for him. And so as an act of kindness for me, he, you know, he went ahead and just resigned. And as a result of that, we have retained the incredible Razor Sharp Dan Dredd as the new Saturday morning co-host. So, you know, for everybody who thought the Ooze couldn't get any more better, it just did. So, wow, that really didn't make much sense now that I think about it. Anyway, where were we? So back to the idea of these magical names. And actually, hang on just a quick second here, please. Okay, I've hit a small issue. And that is that my co-host isn't here, and I have to really go and check out these customers real quick. So what I want to do, Dan, if you would be so kind, dude, is to just call in and take a run with this for just a couple minutes while I go take care of this customer. It would be greatly appreciated. And in the meantime, Bobo, do you see yourself actually manifesting into a different character later? Do you think there will be a day when female Satan has come to the end of the rope and it's time to you know, change? So well, before you answer that though, let me go ahead and bring on the phone. This is the Ooze. 1111.
Alrighty then. Let the games begin. Who is Paul Valentine? is an alleged Satanist. He popped up on the scene in the late 80s. He popped up on the scene and did a couple third-rate talk shows that took a Satan and any Satanist with any self-respect.
Okay. I'm not listening to any more of that. I do have to go take care of this customer, and I don't see anybody grabbing to the line. So if you just hang on for a minute, I'll be right back, all right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm back. I hope we didn't lose everybody.
No, I don't think so. I was going to answer your question. No, I don't see it making me actually changing to another name. Like I said, the first time was very impulsive and just out of the blue. But I actually really like this screen name because of the connotation. And, you know, if you do want to approach it from a magical perspective, yeah, it does make a difference, you know.
Right. What I was kind of looking at this, it's my understanding that the ONA has a particular practice in which they call an Aeonic Insight role. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, I am.
In my mind, something like that happens by you developing a character. You know, much like you would with an RPG, a role-playing game, you know, you give it a certain, you know, image or whatever, and, you know, certain look to it, a certain feel, a certain line of thinking that might be associated with it. And ultimately, you know, you build up this idea of whatever you feel the character is going to be, and then you know you're working to fulfilling this thing, and so you see how the two ideas here are connected, the two things. So that's I'm out of breath. I'm a little pissed at Zach at the moment, to be honest, and wondering if I'm going to have to get off of here again in just a minute and deal with some shit, or if I'll have a few minutes of going through. So, I guess what I want to do, I'm going to invite anybody else to call in. Let's get a little conversation going on, or we'll kind of just discuss the idea of creating this magical name and then building a magical character behind it with the intent of actually, in the case of the Aeonic Insight role, it would be, not necessarily that you would gain all the way around from it, but you might, you know, gather some specific perspective that you may not have had prior. But in what I'm talking about, the idea of it would be the development of right on. So mind fucks, if that's misrepresented, if I'm getting this wrong, please call in and you know, let's discuss this. I'm proposing that there are similarities. I'm not saying that it is the same thing. I'm proposing that the idea is, changing a form name can be something that's simple and retarded. But what I'm talking about is building up a character persona and
yeah, but at the same time, that's not really what I'm doing anymore. Actually, ironically enough, I'm more me now than I was before. I changed over, and it does resonate with me more. But I was putting on airs before and being really nice and stuff. I was not being a bitch, basically, you know, and that I kind of changed that because of that. I wanted to be more myself. I also realized that I'm not really trying to be a philosopher or anything else. I'm a regular person too. And that's kind of changed how I try to write, because I really spent a lot of time trying to imitate those great heavy hitters we all have and know and love. And at the end of the day, I also realized that I'm developing my own philosophy. It's not necessarily something that anybody else would necessarily be receptive to, and that's okay, you know. But so I'm actually kind of surprised that people actually like my stuff at all anymore.
Right on. Hang on, we're going to try. We got 1111 on the line again. It may well be our troll again, or it might be somebody. So you're on the news.
All right, here's Paul Valentine's gimmick. Here's his shtick, sort of call it.
Okay, I don't have any time for that crap. So, yeah, that's... Whoever it is that thinks it's funny to do that, it's only mildly amusing, and it's only because you're retarded enough to do it. So, you know, get something else. We try not to bring up Paul Valentine's name over and over here on this show for a reason, because clowns like that don't need any attention paid to them. But I would certainly, I know that there's some people out there who don't think that I did justice to the idea of the insight role, and honestly, I'm not heavily studied on the ONA, so I could completely, be missing out on the point of it, but either which way, I'd like some clarification on that as well, so now, where the hell were we in terms of, we were discussing the formula. Now my question to you, and this is, if you created this new name with the intent specifically of being a bitch, which I'm not saying that that's, actually what the case was here, but in a sense, you're kind of doing what I was talking about doing, and that, these qualities are things that you don't particularly carry under this one particular idea, if I can use that term to keep it simple. But under this other idea, you feel more comfortable doing it. I can kind of appreciate the psychological value of that.
Well, like I said before, it's mainly like I wasn't being myself. I was being... I don't know how to explain it. I was being fake. I was being, nice all the time and, doing a lot of cheerleading and a lot of I agree and stuff. And a lot of the other people on the forum terrified me, I mean, honestly. And it was a stupid, impulsive thing that I did. But I learned a lot from having done it. I would kind of like to talk about that, kind of like the after effects, because it was a really eye-opening experience to have done a really stupid thing and then kind of lived with the consequences of it, because everybody liked me before, and then after I did that, I got really called out, which was not something that had ever happened to me, like, in a setting like that before. And that was actually a pretty, that was a pretty educational and eye-opening experience for me, actually.
All right. My question to you is what did you learn, or what I was opened?
Quite honestly, that it's very, very important to leave your emotions out of something like that, and that a place like Sin, while it's great and it's fun, it is just entertainment. It's and by that I mean, and I just actually posted this recently, it's like a really good book. You can learn a lot, you can get a lot out of it, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't be what defines you. And that's what I learned kind of from having a lot of shit thrown at me and other things, was just that I need to remember that it is something that you can turn off the computer and you can walk away. You can go do other things. This is not your life,
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, I would assume, maybe there was a lot of, a lot of realities that maybe you had to deal with at that point. I mean, I've always found reality itself to be interesting in that we could all be looking at the same thing, but be describing something completely different. And I don't know where the hell I'm going with this at the moment. I'm trying to get myself back to, focus today. And apparently today may not be my day to be focused. So, yeah, feel free to clip any part of this show and attach it to some clown video, because I'm feeling like I may be conning myself a bunch today. But I suppose getting back to what I was actually saying about the learning experience of it, that criticism that you mm-hmm. undergo, that microscope that people are put under, it tends to really make you think, and in a lot of ways, then you gain some appreciation for, you know, these different monks or yetis or whatever the hell, and that are doing these, you know, long uncomfortable positions for a long period of time. You learn to kind of work past what seem like obvious to physical limitations at the time that you're doing it. And I think the same kind of thing can be said, intellectually, if you allow yourself to be open to dealing with other people's criticism.
Yeah, well, and that's the main thing, is that I actually really enjoy when people criticize me, because most of the time the flaws that are pointed out are quite valid and are something most of the time that I really need to work on. And a lot of times that's why when somebody comes in and really jumps out on a post, I'm most of the time like, well, yeah, you're probably right. That's why I do that, because I really try to read it to examine it for what criticism it is, and no matter how it's presented, even if it's presented in, you know, a sea of cuss words, there's a message there, you know, like don't be pretentious. Or, you know, you don't have to attack everybody every time they say something bad about you. You know, those have been real big learning experiences for me in general, you know.
Right. Well, what is amazing to me, the human race has been around, I have no idea, as long as science says it's been around, and probably then some. And we really still, to this point, don't have half a fucking clue as to how to properly navigate ourselves in interactions with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what tends to happen is some kind of a natural clicking off. You know, you, and I guess that's where the beauty of the idea of a mem comes from, is you click off with people that you can relate to. Or maybe share similar ideas. But the problem becomes when you contrast with somebody who has an opposing view to you, if you're not able to actually give some objective perspective to what you're looking at or what you're talking about, you're end up just eventually... And I'm trying to think of what the word that I want to use here is, but you end up eventually just kind of missing everything that you have the potential of experiencing or understanding. I mean, there's no greater teacher in my mind than raw experience, and what I mean is that if you can see something for everything that it is, everything that
yep.
you're capable of seeing, you can learn so much more about it than if you were just to narrow down on one specific angle and take a look at it and say, with this hard, staunch attitude that, you know, this is where I stand, and, you know, I'm not willing to look at other things. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't stand for anything. At least that's not what I'm trying to express here. But what I'm trying to...
you should look. I mean, like, I try to examine everything, at least look at it, even if the person is completely off base. The guy in the chat room, I mean, I at least look at on a cursory level of maybe what they're trying to say, even if it's just simply to personally attack me, you know, they might have something there. And it's only a big surprise kind of that what I really think of myself or what other people really think of me is can be fairly eye-opening at times, you know, that who you really are and who you think you are always two entirely different things.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's an old three rule that I heard some years and years ago, and I'm not even sure where, to be honest with you, but it's the three things that you are. What you think you are, what other people think you are, and what you really are. And they're not necessarily the same by any stretch of the imagination. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's absolutely true. And I think that when you look at how other people perceive you and mix it with what you really think, you can pretty much get a pretty solid grounding of who you really are, because you're at least taking those two perspectives to try to see the third, which is, you know, my main goal is self, you know, at the end of the day. Like, well, everything is, you know, I just want to really see and understand and know myself at the end of the day.
Right. Let me really quick here just tell you, I don't know if there's any way that I can repair it or not, but your connection seems to be kind of muffled, or I'm not even really... It's like having some kind of a weird digital slip going on right now. So when you're talking... it just kind of all sounds like it's blending together.
Okay.
So,
do you want me to hang up and call back, or?
Yes, yeah, yes, please. Let's see if that's the problem.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, all right.
All right. So we'll hang on the line here for just a minute, and hang on a minute. Yeah, just a minute and see how she sounds when she comes back. In the meantime, I've got this troll on the air again, so troll, you're on the news.
No, recently there's been a reemergence of haters and trolls that are out to debunk me, to please me. You know, to
nice clown. Okay, welcome back, Bobo Bad.
Hey.
All right, so yeah, that's much better. See, that's much better.
Okay, good, yeah.
All right, so where were we? Because between the garbled sound that I was getting from you and trying to figure out if it was a technical issue on my end or yours, I've kind of lost track.
Oh, I said that I was just saying that at the end of the day, my personal goal is self, and that's to truly know and understand myself. So my critics I actually like quite a bit for that reason, because they're the ones that always say, you know, you're kind of, you know, fill in the blank. And that at least gives me something to look at the end of the day. I don't always agree with them, you know, and sometimes I... But a lot of times I actually find a lot of wisdom and truth in that. And I didn't have a lot of critics before. You know, I do now.
Right on. Well, let me ask you, are you hearing me clear right now?
Am I what?
Hearing me clearly right now.
Yes, I can hear you clearly, yes.
Okay, I'm just checking because now I'm looking and they're making, you know, commentary about my voice being... wobbly, so to speak. So just making sure we've gotten past that little bit. Here's the thing, and this is really what I think is a big determining fact, and something that I kind of tried to touch on in one of my YouTube videos a while back. And that is that when someone offers up some criticism to you, when someone offers up this behavior that they find, you know, negative or not, you can always almost immediately tell if there's some relevance to it by the fact that an emotional response starts to kind of emerge. It might even sting a little bit, whatever you want to say to describe the feeling that I'm talking about. But there are also people out there who have the difficulty of well, placing too much value on what that outside opinion is. And I think that what's really important here is to realize that while, you know, you yourself has to have flaws, the person that inspecting you is just as riddled with them. And so you can only get an indicator of some form, some kind of a rough idea of where to maybe look, but it flushing these ideas out and dealing with them becomes difficult because we oftentimes want to try to handle any emotional fallibility that we have by using strong intellect, if you know what I'm saying.
And that's the main thing. It's like, you know, not like I said, they, you know, the critics can be wrong too, but if I have a strong emotional response, I know that there's something there. Either there's an issue I haven't dealt with, or they used a word that for some reason really gets to me, or something, you know. And I always try to assess that too. And also, a lot of times, you can, if it's all personal attacks most of the time, it's their own psychological whatever going on and has nothing to do with you. There's a difference between saying, I think that your idea is bad and I think you're this.
Right.
You know? And I do tend to ignore the second category quite a bit, actually.
Right on. What I was kind of actually getting at there with the whole deal, and let me try to wrap my brain to say this directly so that I don't have a misunderstanding about it again. But what I was aiming to try to convey is that the indicators are there, but ultimately, you know, the measure is without any unself-assigned standard. And so you have to take into heart that this person's got their own issues and maybe seeing things a certain way. And then once you've gotten past that point, it's important to work with it in the category that it's in, meaning that it's an intellectual flaw that you have. You work in the intellectual category on it. And if it's an emotional flaw, you work in the emotional category on it. And if it's a physical flaw, you do the same thing and so forth. You know, like, for instance, you're not going to try to lose weight reading books. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly. No, and I do agree. And I have let my emotions get away from me a time or two over personal attacks. And I'm actually really working on that right now. You know that.
Yes, sir.
It's simply, and at the end of the day too, I do always try to filter the information through, you know, me filter, which is, you know, how much of it do I want to take or throw away? And, you know, that depends on who the person that criticized me was, what the criticism was, et cetera. You know, some of it's worthless, but a lot of it does have some kind of worth at the end of the day.
Right. Right, absolutely. It looks like we have a caller on the air. I'm going to go ahead and bring them on because for once it's not all ones. So, caller, you're on the news.
Hey, it's Sin. How you guys doing?
Oh, hey, Sin, how you doing?
Good.
Hey,
Bubba. I had a question for you. Now, since you've been kind of under the magnifying glass and receiving all this heavy-handed criticism, has it made you reflect at all on criticisms that you yourself issue?
Yes.
Has it changed your behavior?
It has on occasion. Yeah, it has, actually. It's a, you know, I have very definitive feelings about what things are, but it doesn't necessarily mean that applies to everybody else. In addition to that, you know, if I don't like something, I don't have to go tell everybody I don't like it. I could just keep that to myself. You know, I don't have to read it, you know.
Right. Now, do you feel yourself, like, falling into band camps? Like, you know, it happens online all the time. Like, one particular person will say they don't like something or they'll start criticizing something. And then you're like, yeah, me too. You get in that me too band camp. Do you ever feel yourself getting into those traps?
No, I try to avoid those traps as much as possible. I mean, issues sometimes come up that are like a group issue for one reason or another, and sometimes I think they get dealt with as a group because of that, because it's kind of like if something's introduced to one group, they'll all look at it at the same time. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's, you know, no, I try to avoid that as much as possible because I'm, you know, I'm not part of the herd and I'm not actually at Finn for a popularity contest. I'm just there to do my thing, you know, entertain myself, have some fun, maybe learn something. That's about it.
What I'm trying to figure out here right now is there seems to be some, it was a hard dichotomy just presented in that, you know, the dichotomy being a total individual or someone who is, what terminology did you use, Allison? You used Bandcamp or some shit like
that?
Yeah,
or the Me Too Bandcamp.
And I
had specific reasoning behind my line of questioning because I myself like to think for myself and I do not dislike people because someone else dislikes someone. And I have observed a lot of heavy-handed criticism, you know, directed at her to include links shared so that I am able to read and observe what's going on. So without having full knowledge of what the situation is, I can't really make a judgment. So I'm asking her, you know, so I can hear it from the horse's mouth, you know, like she's fairly new, she's going through a lot of changes, there could be reasons behind the reason why she's issuing these heavy-handed criticisms, I don't know the background, so that's the reason for my questioning.
Right. Well, what I was just kind of thinking about was the fact that sometimes a staunch individual runs into the point where even though it's a popular opinion, And it's one that everybody else maybe holds, but they still just can't deny the fact that that's really what it is. So,
yeah.
You know, and that oftentimes, unfortunately, can be handed or have a negative impact in that, you know, people then believe that they're somehow climbing onto some magic bandwagon just because they happen to actually hold an opinion that's popular.
Yep. Yep.
Which
I would agree.
It's an epitome of fail in my mind to kind of make that category there, but
not that it doesn't happen, but I do. Yeah, that is a valid point, and I do agree.
Yeah, I mean, of course it does happen, but you know, where was I? I was kind of going at this with the idea of this construct of. You know, the magical name, so to speak, and maybe lacing it with little, you know, ideas that of things that you either want to bring forward in yourself or you want to actually insert into you. Now, I realize that just because you go through this whole process of constructing this character and maybe you run through and you know, perform this whole operation of getting into the role of this, that at the end of the day, you may still, you know, be empty-handed in terms of actually having ingested anything of real substance. But it does seem like a curious way of maybe, you know, doing some personal alterations. There's been a terminology that's been being tossed around lately in the circles that I travel, particularly, I think, by the Dead Idea, and that is designer consciousness, the idea of being able to completely shape the way that you think, see, view things, and obviously from there, everything else is going to subordinate. You know, if you have your mind set a certain way, you'll reap certain emotional results, you'll reap certain physical results, and they'll all be, you know, very pertinent to whatever change you've instituted. So I was just kind of curious as to, you know, you guys' ideas of whether or not this might be a potential gateway for achieving that designer consciousness.
I would say definitely. Definitely. Because, I mean, you believe in it, you can shape it.
Right.
Me changing my screen name. Is that what you're referencing? I mean, like, I've talked to TGI a little bit about what you're talking about, and it's like I told you before, it was just kind of a stupid impulsive thing. It's not really, you know, I prefer the name, but that's more of a personal thing at the end of the day, you know.
No, I'm not specifically referring to your one instance. I'm just talking about
a general idea behind this.
A general idea behind it. Yeah, you know, creating a paradigm shift. Chaos magicians, in a way, do this. They, you know, they create this whole paradigm. They get really into whatever it is. You know, they work with it until they've achieved whatever it is that they felt they wanted to get from it, and then they destroy it. This same kind of idea occurs to me as... I can make a reference right here to somebody in this room besides you that has done this. The character Maybine that's in there, he now is running by the name Maybuzz, and I wonder if that, you know, is to articulate some little variation in his personal, you know, mindset.
I actually asked him about it recently, and he's using the Arthurian legend behind Maybuzz, the Death Castle.
Right, I understand, but what I'm curious about, since he's now using that, is that an alteration that has happened in his psychological spectrum of the world. Is it reflective of an attempt to change towards something?
Hmm. You know, well, I mean, I think, yeah, that could work. I mean, you know, Jason Sorrell's an example in that he's now dropping the Ego Diabolus and moving with Jason Sorrell now pretty much full time. I mean, that's an example of that, too, you know. I've done it at one time. I had a dream years and years ago. It was this name, Anwen. Never heard of it. I had to research it. I found out it was Welsh, and it actually means a couple of different things. It means it's the Welsh underworld, the underworld itself. But depending on how it's spelled and how it's pronounced, it can also be the goddess Anwen, which is an underworld goddess, and she's like the keeper of the hearth. And I thought that was like an interesting little character. And I actually found most of the information from a role player. They developed a whole character for their role playing game, and so I dabbled with that for a while, years and years ago. And then I didn't need it anymore, and I discarded it. But I still use it as my my Yahoo email address is Anwen of Earth.
Okay. Now, real quick, not to shift anything here, but just if anybody's having difficulty getting through on the phone line, it's because this 1111 character keeps lighting up the switchboard, and I only actually have 5 slots. I may have more now that I have a premier account, now that I think about it, but whoever this dude is apparently has some Paul Valentine message that he wants to do, so let's go ahead and bring it on just for a minute. Troll? Hello? No? No, don't have any special magical clip you want to play for me of one of my old shows? Are you sure? I mean, it's entirely fascinating to me that they're choosing to use what seem to be almost specifically sound clips of Zach Black. So I wonder if this is not his revenge for me, creating a piece of banner work that he didn't like his image in for the third time. Zach, are you fucking around, buddy? Oh, all right. Goodbye. All right, back to all of this goodness that we've got going here. Has anybody else ever, you know, put any consideration into what I'm talking about, the designing of, let's say, your prototype? I mean, we all work with the idea of archetypes, so it's not very far of a stretch to understand that you could construct a prototype and actually run with that for a little bit and see how it works. And that is really, you know, the whole thing that I was trying to get to earlier when I was trying to relate with what I thought an Aeonic Insight role was, which obviously our resident ONA people, Mindfucks and Dan Dredd, you know, maybe disagree with my description of it, but that's okay. But what I'm looking for is, I don't know, some information on whether or not, you know, this is why things have been developed the way that they've been developed, and if this might, you know, be something that we do subconsciously. I mean, I've often heard of people describing, you know, putting on a certain hats. Like, for me right now, I'm got my ooze hat on, but when I hang up, I'm have my yelling at the person who keeps calling my store while I'm on my show hat. And then after that, I'll have my store manager hat being put back on. You know, so I'm just interested to see if anybody has any kind of feedback on this type of thing. So,
Well, I think it can, yeah. I mean, you know, but it also, I think it depends on how much you're putting into a name at the same time, you know.
Right, well, I mean, it's obviously more than just writing out a few letters that you're later going to go by. You know, the development would have to be conceptually sound, at least to the point of knowing how you are going to interface using that name. I'm thinking of pen names as one example of a way that this sort of thing happens. I mean, I find it interesting that, you know, Mark Twain did all of his work under that name, and, well, we all know Muhammad Ali is not his birth name, and I dare to assume that the Simpson twins Olsen twins, that's it. The Olsen twins aren't probably not Olsons, at least not by birth. You have, is it Sheen or Estevez? I always forget which one's actually the real last name and which one's the stage name. But this is just something that kind of struck in my mind as we were coming up to this show, and I figured I would use the opportunity to maybe get some insight from what you went through, Cora, and not Cora Bobo. Well, although
yeah.
Cora-san has been, you know, kind of done the same thing in that, you know, she's Allison Jones, she's been Cora-san Sin, so...
But all three of them are they're all me.
Yeah.
But I do play, you know, I guess the role. Like when I'm in the, you know, the Cult of Cthulhu forum, I'm Coruscant. Out in the world, I'm 100%, you know, Coruscant, but, you know, my primary name that I use is Sin, because that's what everybody knows me by. Like even when they hear my real name, like Allison, they're like, who?
Right.
I have to remind them that, yeah, my name is Allison. You know, I wasn't born Sin, but, yeah, that's just a nickname that was given to me.
Right on. Real quick here, guys. The troll is yet again called in, so I'm going to go ahead and see what brilliant audio clip we have.
All right.
Troll? Just dead air again? Okay, well, you're really lame. I mean...
Say that people react to me differently now that I post under this name as opposed to the other one. I can say the same exact thing that I would say before, but people always take it to be more of a criticism now than before, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, I understand what you, and that's another, I guess, interesting thing. And it's a shame I didn't think to talk about that 5 minutes ago as I was rambling through all of this shit. I am kind of curious, you know, if I was to change my name to Dandy Butterflies, would everybody still attach the same ideas to me, or you know, would there be a different interface? I mean, I'm almost certain that Mindfucks would ridicule me on a constant basis for it. But
well, it's been more like, I don't know, they automatically assume that I'm being nasty and attacking when I might be joking, and I'll get a really, really, really whiny, you know, tear-filled response when I probably would have laughed about it. That's what happens 99% of the time when I wind up getting in a flame war or something, is that I said something that was kind of a joke, kind of poking fun at them a little bit, but not too much, you know, and they just freak out. Do you see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I didn't get that before, and I did the same thing before, so that hasn't changed. People's reaction to it has.
Right. Yeah, and that perceives another interesting twist on this. And the interesting twist is this. Could you not construct, a name, a certain persona, a certain character, just strictly for the concept of, some mid-magic operation, you know, to get underneath somebody's skin. Like, for instance, if I called myself, Pope Lucifer, and then I went and I trolled Mabon's little blog, talking to him about how wonderful the god Lucifer is and how he should, you know, be on his knees every day praying for him. Do you think, that would upset him more than if I myself, as Beast, said that? He would probably just roll his eyes and...
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And honestly, I think that it's the fact that it has the word Satan in it. I think that's... I know it's stupid and I know it's dumb, but I think because it's female Satan and Satan's at the end, people automatically assume it's an attack every single time, rather than actually reading it and realizing that it might have just been a joke. I mean, I don't really take myself that seriously, and I have a very self-deprecating sense of humor, you know. It's how I keep myself from being contentious most of the time, actually.
Right on. Well, we have just about a minute left in the show. I want to thank you. You've been a great, co-host for lack of a better term, since you weren't just a guest, but actually, mostly the only other person that I got to interact with. And I was going to thank Allison for calling in too, but apparently she fell off. Our troll is still on, still calling in. I'm just going to hang up on them this time. So, all that being said and done, tomorrow, Dan Dredd joins me, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same bat time, same bat channel. Call in, listen, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is your discretion to us. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?